Morning. Today's scripture reading will be taken from Hosea 4, 1 to 10, and 6, 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. There is only cursing, lying, and murder, stealing and adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Because of this, the land mourns, and all who live in it waste away. The beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea are dying. But let no man bring a charge. Let no man accuse another, for your people are like those who bring charges against the priests. You stumble day and night, and the prophets stumble with you. So I will destroy your mother, my people, and are destroyed from lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I also reject you as my priests, because you have ignored the law of your God. I will also will ignore your children. The more the priests increased, the more they sinned against me. They exchanged their glory for something disgraceful. They feed on the sins of my people and relish their wickedness. And it will be like people like priests. I will punish both of them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. They will eat but not have enough. They will engage in prostitution, but not increase, because they have deserted the Lord to give themselves to prostitution, the old wine and new which take away the understanding. Hosea 6:1. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us here this fine Sunday morning. May you really open our hearts and our minds and really absorb every single word that we hear from you, the message that we're going to hear, and really comprehend it and apply it to our daily lives. And not only that, but really project it and say it to others, to really go out there and talk to our friends or business colleagues or the person down the street and take that fear out of us and really share what you want us to share. And dear Lord, as we have our communion this morning, may we think about all the great things and miraculous, amazing things you've done for us and the amazing and great things you still do and will do for us forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. While I was reading this portion in Hosea, and while I was hearing the words of God, I remember the picture I saw just a few days ago on television. I saw O.J. Simpson being in the courthouse, stand up and face the judge. For this morning, I'm not going to comment about the whole situation, but I'm going only to remind us that a judge has the authority to condemn someone to death or imprisonment. And the judge did not fool around. He said to O.J. Simpson that sorry and all that doesn't count. There is your judgment. And here God speaks to his people. Now, I know we say the chosen people were the Israelites, the children of Israel, but today this applies, every word of the Bible applies to every one of us. God said, hear the word of the Lord. And I hope and pray this morning that we will hear the word of God. This was a call of hope to a nation in trouble. He was not calling them to condemn them and to tell them you're going to hell because of that, but he is calling them to warn them that if they do not change, they will be condemned. The nation was in moral and religious decay. God charges them of unfaithfulness and crimes. God is angry with Israel because the people were unfaithful, unkind, and corrupt, swearing, lying, killing, stealing, adultery, and immorality had become a way of life for them. If you think we are better today, then you are absolutely living in another planet. The world has not become any better. The world and the churches in general, religions in general, have prostituted the Word of God. Not all of them. They are born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, true believers in many denominations. But I'm not talking about the believers. I'm not talking about the followers of Christ. I'm believing in the organized religions in the world. And if God had this megaphone shouting from heavens to the religions, He would have used the same words today. At least 5 of the 10 commandments are mentioned in verse 2 of chapter 4. Their land was in bad condition. Even the wild animals of the field and the birds in the air and the fish in the sea were dying because of the coming judgment. And I said to myself while I was reading this, now, how could the sin of man make God destroy the animals or the fields or the fish? And I believe that God, when we ask a question, often the Holy Spirit gives us the answer right away, and sometimes we have to wait for a long time. But I just said, it wasn't God that was destroying the animals. It was the sin of man. It's the way man today treats God's creation. It is true that fish are disappearing and animals are dying. This morning I was reading in the Gazette there is a tree of 285-year-old that they're cutting it down because of the pollution and because of the disease. God did not do that. We are doing it. And if that is happening to the animals and to the creatures and to the land, you can imagine what's happening in the human heart and the soul. People had forgotten God. They would not acknowledge and worship Him. These people who called themselves God's people had forsaken Him and had turned their backs to Him. They had no time for Him. They had no time for Him. And when you say that, people say, oh yeah, you're coming up again with the same cliche thing, you don't come to church. Because yes, it is true that people today don't have time for God. As a matter of fact, listening to the radio programs, watching television, and reading the newspapers, you realize that man wants the system, the sinful system of this earth now wants to remove completely the name of God from any activity. They don't want Christmas to be called Christmas, although I don't think the word Christmas is in the Bible, but nevertheless, referring or remembering or acknowledging the birth of Christ should be removed because that's not politically correct. Praying to God is not politically correct. Saying thank God is not politically correct. Saying praise the Lord is not politically correct. Opening the Bible is not politically correct. So what is politically correct? To commit adultery, to drink, to get drunk, to do drugs, to swear, to kill your mother and father, to do all kind of abuse, all kinds of these things are politically correct. But when it comes to the name of God, No. You may insult someone. The people had forgotten God. Things that would satisfy the flesh and eyes had become their main preoccupation. God and spiritual things had become secondary or even forgotten. 2 billion people may claim to be Christians, but there is more crime and there is more lying and cheating among those who call themselves Christians or religious people. 2 days ago, I was reading the Gazette, and I don't know how many of you get the Gazette or saw the picture with big lines, headlines. A Christian order is covering up their sins. And then I turned the second page, and then later on another 2 huge pages of the crimes committed in a Christian organization and in a Christian organization that should be holy. Not only in that organization, but in every so-called Christian organization or church, you will find the adding water into the wine. The Word of God has become so diluted that has no power. The Word of God has power, but when you mix it up with worldly things and pagan activities, then how can it be effective? Only people care for things that satisfy the eyes and the flesh. Even in the church, if you like the music, you'll go back to that church. If the ambience, if the building is beautiful, nice wood, you may go back to the church. If you feel comfortable in the church, you may go back to the church. When I went to Armenia, I visited many churches, and I went to a church, and I mentioned this before. When I said there were no glasses, people correct me and they say, oh, you mean there were no windows? No, there were windows, but they had no glasses. The glasses were missing. So I said to the pastor, how do you do it in the winter? It's cold. He said, well, we wear coats and there's no heating. Bedros, is that true? And I went to churches where they had nothing. The pastor said to work to get some food, not work in a company, in their field, and the name of the Lord is upheld. But we have been spoiled in the West. The nations were in need of a great revival. What is revival? Revival is someone is dying, is in a coma or comatose, and you want someone goes and starts breathing or mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, or the doctor comes and puts that little thing, a big thing, to make the heart start. That's what revival is. And God, I believe, has come to the point of saying, either you let me revive you or you're going to die in your sins. The church today, in general, needs a revival. Worship had become a formality, and you think today worship is not a formality? Worship was not a life-changing experience anymore, and I believe that the church is where it's just like an oasis. You go there to drink the living from the living water and to receive life, eternal life. And then you go back because you need more living water. And then you go home and you read the Bible because you need more living food. But today the church has become a place of entertainment in general. Worship was not a life-changing experience. I hope and pray our worship becomes a life-changing experience for every one of us. There was no faith left. Only religion. There was no faith left, only religion. And today, most religious activities are only religious activities, and the heart is removed from all these activities. As I said, we are not any better. This situation, of course, reminds us or is a good picture of what is happening today. They had rejected God in two ways. First, they had rejected God in their words. Their conversations were full of cursing and lying. Our words reflect our spiritual condition. They are a picture of what's in the mind and in the heart. Words are the real reflection of our heart's condition. Jesus said in Matthew 12, verses 36, 37, "But I tell you that man will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." People were using words that were irreverent and wicked without shame. Empty words and profanity is one of the sins of falling away and deterioration of spirituality. In Colossians 3:8 we read, "But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger." Do you ever get angry? "Rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips." They should be completely removed. Then we see they were lying, or lying had become a way of life. Lying is not God's language. It is the devil's language. As a matter of fact, the devil is the father of lies, the Bible says. In John 8:44, we read, "The devil was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of all lies." In religion, there is so much lie that you don't recognize anymore the truth from a lie. Religion has become where everything is twisted and changed and modified and compromised. You're saying, "What are you doing this morning? You're running down all the religions and the religious activities." Yes, the Bible says that what a pure religion is a broken and contrite heart. That's what religion is. Everything else is only a religion, an activity, theatrics. There should be no room for lying in the life of a believer. In Ephesians 4:25, we read, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully." Well, the first sin was they had rejected God in their words. The second thing was they had rejected God in their works. The sins or marks of decay in a nation are murders. God said, "You shall not murder." They did murder. Stealing. God said, you shall not, or "You must not steal." Adultery. God said, "You shall not commit adultery." The Bible makes it very clear that we must separate ourselves from the evil ways of the world. As a matter of fact, today they are trying to do just the opposite. You have the ecumenical movement. You have all kinds of other movements that want to unite all the religions of the world, and everything goes and the very basic fundamental truths of the Bible have been removed or pushed a little bit aside to accommodate other religions and other groups. And I was just reading of a church that says everyone is invited to come to our church. This church is for everyone, every color, of every religion. We all have a God to worship. Well, obviously, some people have their God. Some people's God is a drug. Someone else's God is sex. Someone else's God is money. Someone else's God is pride. Someone else's God. And why not? I mean, let's get together and worship our own gods. No, the Bible says there is only one God, the living God. And Jesus said, follow me. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You can compromise as much as you want. But from the first moment you start compromising, you are on the way. The stairway to hell, as some people would call it. Today, killings and murder are increasing. Organized crime is everywhere. Stealing has become a way of life, even for Christians. Adultery is not even called adultery anymore. As a matter of fact, because many choose to live in common law or free relationships with relationships, adultery is not recognized or it does not apply to them as far as they are concerned. I mean, I can go a little further and say same-sex marriages are allowed in the church. Homosexual pastors or gay ministers and elders are now very popular. Some of the Anglican churches have said it's okay to bless same-sex marriages. And we call ourselves Christians. I mean, I tell you, it's mind-boggling how the devil works in the church by using so-called Christians and Christian doctrines to destroy the church. The church is not this building, is not Temple Baptist Church, is not the Armenian Church, is not the Greek Church, is not the English Church, is the body of Christ. And in that body there are Armenians, there are English, there are French, there are blacks, there are whites. But there is only one body, the body of Christ. And when you bring adultery in the church, it cannot be a part of the body of Christ. It's rejected. You know your body, the doctor will tell you here that when a foreign piece of thing comes into your body rejects it. That's why it's difficult for some people who have heart transplants and others to adjust. They have to be on medication. So how do we accept the body of Christ to welcome sin? Sin is rejected. The church is rejected. People are rejected that are bringing with them sin and compromising. I'm not saying we must not accept people who have sinned. Jesus said, come to me, everyone. As a matter of fact, God invited the sinners more than the religious pious people in the temple. As a matter of fact, Jesus came to die for the sinners. As a matter of fact, we must go out and hug the sinner and invite him to meet Christ, but not to tell him it's okay what you're doing, you're only human, but to tell him that God loves you. And just introduce the person to Jesus. We cannot change ourselves. We cannot change anyone else. But we can bring the person. We can go to God who changes lives. Petros said he was almost dying because of sin. And God came and grabbed him and said, no, you're not going to die. Listen to me. And Petros listened to him. And he responded to him. And because he listened and responded to him, he got him out of that mess and put him somewhere where he is very useful now. Please, don't listen to my words, listen to the words of the Bible. God will not tolerate sin, or God will not compromise. Just examine yourself. I should examine myself and see whether I am my relationship with God is what it should be. Well, Prophet Hosea cried out and invited the people to return to God. He said, come, let us return to the Lord. He pleaded with them. Come even though you have been torn to pieces, return and you'll be forgiven, he cried out. God is still calling those who have not made him their Lord to come. He is ready to forgive, purify, and restore. He will revive us, restore us, that we may live in his presence. 2 Chronicles 7:14, I'm sure many of you know it, says, if my people, who are his people? His people are the ones that they call themselves after his name. We are called Christians. In Armenian Christonia, in Greek Christianos, in French Chrétien, or whatever you call that, we are calling ourselves after him, Christians. He said, if my people who are called by my name do what? Humble themselves. Now, Petros doesn't need to humble himself. He is a pastor now. No, he has to humble himself. Joseph, he is on the pulpit. Oh yeah, he has to humble himself. Every one of us have to humble ourselves and pray. And then he says what? Says what? And? If my people who are called by my name pray and seek my face, seek his face. And then what? Turn away from their wickedness. Then, says right, Petros, then I will hear their prayer from heaven. Then, but before that, I will not hear their prayers. You know what? That shocked me. I read it 10 times. I kept reading it, and more I read it, more it broke my heart into pieces, because it says, if my people who are called by my name pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, then I will listen to their prayer, hear their prayer from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. If Canada wants to prosper, if the U.S. wants to prosper, if Armenia wants to prosper, if the believers want to prosper, then we must humble ourselves, come to our knees spiritually or physically, however you want to look at it, and confess our sins to him and seek his face, not Temple Baptist Church, not Catholic, not Protestant, not Armenian Orthodox or whatever, but his face, God's face. And then we have his attention. And then he will be listening. And then he will forgive our sins. And then he will heal our land. You say, well, right. It is right. He created us. He sustains us. He can destroy the fish in the sea if he wants to. But he doesn't have to, because we're doing it. He can destroy our land if he wants to, but he's not doing it. We're doing it. He is allowing us to self-destruct because of sin. Hosea said, come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. Not only he will forgive us, but he will take Petros and Hopsep and bind their wounds. And he will heal the soul. And he will heal the body. And then he will make you become such an important person that heavens will have a party, throw a party, because you've been saved. And heavens will rejoice, because you who think you are a sinner and you are useless are so important in the eyes of God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for caring so much for us. Thank you for the warnings. Thank you for your gospel, Jesus, our Lord, who you gave us the good news of salvation and forgiveness. Please speak to each one of us today and touch our hearts and souls. In your blessed name I pray, Amen.